Gathered in this sacred place, we are seekers of light, seekers of truth.
We are called to love God with all our hearts and our souls.
And to love God with all of our minds.
Open our hearts to receive your presence.
Open our souls to receive your mercy.
Open our minds to receive your truth.
As we praise the everlasting King.
Such a great group of girls and boys, and you look so good today. Everybody feeling just great. And you know what's going to happen in just a few weeks? Guess what is starting back? School. You're excited, aren't you? No. Oh, I thought you would be. But if you had a nice new book bag like this, that would help, wouldn't it? Now, this is a cool book bag. This is an Adidas blue book bag. I'd like to have one like that. So it's the first day of school, and somebody has this really neat book bag, and they open it up when the teacher says, "Let's get out our pencils and paper," but there's nothing inside. Don't we need to put something in there? So I was thinking about some things we could put in the book bag. Now, let's see. I have a bunch of stuff over here. So how about some paper? Everybody needs paper, right? And there's some scissors. You ever have scissors? Now, these are the coolest things. These are glue sticks. When I was growing up, they had not invented these things. We had Elmer's glue that we got all over us. but glue sticks are so cool. And here's some erasers, and here's some pencils, and here's some rulers. And boys, this is something you're going to love. Here is a Frozen notebook with Elsa. Is that Elsa and Anna? You like that? And Olaf. And they're just singing, "Let it go, let it go." But the reason that we're getting all of these book bags and all of these school supplies is so every boy and girl can be ready when school starts. And we have about 2 more weeks. We've already collected all the book bags. Now we're going to collect a lot of school supplies. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? I think it is. So you keep doing that, and maybe next week, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Next week, you've met Megan, haven't you? Well, she's going to preach next week. And I know it is just going to be so good. And I think maybe next week would be a good week to introduce Megan to our M&M Sundays. What do you think? I bet our college kids will come back for that. So keep that in mind. Make sure you bring some more school supplies. And let's have a prayer together. Dear God, you love all of the children, and thank you that we can help boys and girls all over this town and all over this county. Thank you for these precious girls and boys. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, thank you.
Definitely excited to learn what M&M Sunday is. But good morning and welcome to worship. It is good to be together today. And to all of those listening on the radio or online streaming, it is good to have you with us too. If you're visiting this morning, I would invite you to take a visitor's card from the pew rack in front of you and put it in the offering plate as it is passed around later in the service. And this morning, we give a special welcome to all of our college students. We are glad that you are here with us, and we send our thoughts and prayers to all of those who are unable to join us. So come and let us worship together.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from the Revised Standard Version, Jeremiah 27:29, verses 10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, our young people who had been to Passport shared an exciting report with us. One of the great things about Passport and taking our young people to Belize, as we will next summer, it instills within them a lifelong love and commitment of Christian service. And it's always so meaningful when our young people grow up and they go to college to see the wonderful things that they're doing and beyond. One of our young people, who love Passport, Alec Rhodes. And Alec, your appearance at the talent show on the last night of Passport is still legendary in Passport circles. And then the next year, Alec went to Belize with us. And Alec, I'll never forget that experience that we had, and also your baptism, as well as others, in the Caribbean Sea. This summer, Alec Rhodes has extended that commitment to Christ as he has been on an amazing mission trip to Turkey. Alec, we have prayed for you. We have been behind you. And Alec is going to come and share with us a report from that amazing adventure that he has had this summer.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a piece of paper here to keep me on track. I'm pretty well known to go on tangents, and let's just hope I don't get kicked off stage or anything like that. So, for those of you that don't know me, I'm the son of Beth and Gary Rhodes and the grandson of Mary Everhart. And I graduated Central Davidson High School in 2014, and I currently go to American University in Washington, D.C. And And I've also, like Ray said, I'm an alumni of Passport, and I went there about 3 years ago, and have wrapped the presidents in order, and it's been an amazing ride ever since. And I just want to focus today on my recent trip to Turkey. I went there as a LiveDead Silk Road intern, and I know you're asking, what is that? So LiveDead is an organization that focuses on church planting in teams to unreached people groups. And they have teams in East Africa, Iran, India, the Arab world, and the Silk Road. And for those of you that don't know what the Silk Road is, it's pretty much any country that ends with Stan and Turkey. And the Lord just called me to Turkey for some reason, and I just accepted it and went along with it. And the internship itself was split up into 2 months, from mid-May to mid-July, and I was there for 2 months, and it was split up into three segments. In the first 3.5 weeks, I was there in Istanbul, which is not the capital, I learned. It's about 17 million people. The capital is Ankara. But I learned in Istanbul, a typical day there was like, we learned Turkish for three and a half hours, and then in the afternoons, we had class on ecclesiology, church planting, missiology, and Islam. And our free time, we just abided in Christ and really delve deeper into the word there. And we also, a large emphasis was on actually going out into the field and preaching the gospel to the unreached people of Turkey, because Turkey, I think, is 99.9% Muslim. And we just really were really equipped in Istanbul to go out into the field and practice there. And then the second half was in Kamalye, which is a little small village of about 2,000 people and along the Euphrates River. And basically there, we just did a homestay, and we just really got to know the family a lot more. We got to really be really in depth into the Turkish culture there. And we got to love the family and them love us back, and just even practice our Turkish, which I just know a little smidgy bit about, but I know enough to get by. And the last part, we went to the northeast part of Turkey, which most of what I'll be talking about is from that part of Turkey. We were there for about 3.5 weeks in the northeast part, also known as the Zero Zone. They call it the Zero Zone because there's zero to hardly any believers in that part of Turkey, and that's along the Black Sea and the Georgian border up there. And it's pretty rural up there. It's in a really mountainous terrain. And I'm going to talk about three main topics today, of about faith, hope, and love. And the main theme that it's going to combine at the end is what it truly means to live dead. That's what I came to Turkey. That's what I accepted the internship for. I really wanted to learn what it means to live dead for Christ, because it sounds so strange for us. I didn't know what that quite meant, but I really wanted to learn what that meant. So I'm going to provide examples of how faith, hope, and love went through me, how God impacted me through faith, hope, and love, and how he impacted others along the journey. And so I'm going to start with faith, and I put a colon beside it, and I said, seeking the kingdom and of God and his righteousness first. And I really wanted to go, I didn't know what that quite meant. I just thought it meant
delving deep into the Bible at first, and so I just really wanted to go deep into the Bible because I've only read three chapters of the Bible up until Turkey. It was like Genesis, Matthew, and Exodus. And I just really wanted to get, I thought to seek the kingdom of God, I had to go deeper into the Word and deeper into the Bible itself. So I did that, and along with this really intense devotional that's called the Live Dead Journal, and it's a really intense devotional. It takes 2 to 2.5 hours a day. It requires like praying for 30 minutes, reading 6 chapters of the Bible a day, praying for other nations, and to just worship Him and rest in Him. And it's really this intense thing. I didn't last but maybe an hour or so, but that wasn't the goal. It was so much to get to 2 to 2.5 hours. It was to just really push myself beyond my limits in my spiritual well-being. And so I was on fire for God at first. I really was. But then a lot of spiritual warfare happened, which slowed us down. There were nightmares. I think on the second night I was there, I had a dream that my mom was murdered. And I had a lot of us got sick. A lot of us were experiencing different types of sickness. And the Turkish, it's kind of funny and sad at the same time, but the Turkish, I kind of cried a little bit. Went to the bathroom in the middle of it and cried because it was so hard. It's a little embarrassing. But Turkish is a whole other language. It looks like English, but it is not. I promise you that. But also a really sad thing, was that one of our interns, his name's Johnny, his dad, he was actually studying abroad in a country near Turkey for a year, and he hasn't been home in a year. And so his dad actually passed away in Texas from a bee sting, and so he had to be sent back home because his dad passed away. And so all this spiritual warfare that was happening because we were in the enemy's territory was happening. And it was just really distracting me and guiding me just not along God's will. Or I was being very distracted and just away from God's focus. And in that, I was losing faith a little bit. I was losing the grip I had at the beginning I had in Christ. And I was losing that faith. But I just did not want to come back and back home and share with you guys about only giving a half-hearted effort. So I really had to push myself and let the Holy Spirit take control of me because I cannot do it on my own strength. So I really had to push through, and by faith, I pushed through and I completed the Live Dead Journal. That was the most intense devotion I've ever done in my life. I have stayed on track to read 6 chapters of the Bible a day, and I really made it an intentional effort to pray to God on my hands and knees and just do it like not just 5 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes in tears, and just do it with all of my strength that I possibly could, and also worship Him to my fullest. And I want to highlight worshiping because I'm going to bring this to another part in Turkey. In Turkey, in the northeast part, which most of my examples are going to be from, in the northeast part, there was a worship service we did with this guy. And we went along, we just had this picnic with this one believer who was the only believer within hundreds of miles. And he's been a believer his whole life. And his journey to Christ is an amazing story, but I don't have time to share all that. But the thing is, when we were having a picnic with this guy, out of nowhere, this Muslim family comes out of nowhere and sits near us at this picnic in the middle of the woods. In the middle of the woods of nowhere, Turkey, comes this family, and they want to just eat with us. And so we share food, and we pray to God, worship God in Turkish, and we pray for each other. And there was this one woman, this one Muslim woman, who she was sort of on the fence. She didn't know exactly what she believed. She was sort of on the fence. She didn't necessarily, she wasn't all out Islam, but she wasn't necessarily all for, she wasn't like for Christ either. So she was sort of on the fence. But as we were worshiping, as we were praying to God and just being all together, she saw how hospitable we were. She saw God's love through us. And she just made it, She just slowly but surely became more and more gravitated towards us. And by the end of the day, our friend who was playing the guitar, she was just worshiping in Turkish. We were all singing along. And by the end of that day, that woman came to Christ in front of our very own eyes. And it's really emotional to talk about. But the funny thing about this is our friend, she's about 20 years old, and our friend playing the guitar, her name is Faith. And I just thought that was an amazing example of how faith really, really happened in Turkey there. And I had to step out in faith to push through the enemy and the spiritual warfare, to push my boundaries. I had to step out in faith and delve deeper into the Word. And by faith, our friend Faith helped this woman come to Christ there. And I just thought faith was an amazing, one of the major topics that I had to talk about at first, and seeking the kingdom of God and what that really means. And that brings me to my second point of hope. And I put a colon beside that. It says, dying to self. And I know that may sound strange, but I'll explain. I know after the first few weeks in the northeast part of Turkey, I felt more, I knew how to seek the kingdom of God more. I knew how to really push my barriers, and seeing people come to Christ in front of my very own eyes, that gave me a lot of confidence and pride to do it myself. And so I have this one example of where I was at this restaurant with this one guy. He just finished college. He's a brilliant guy, but he was an atheist. And he eventually asked me what I believed, and I told him that I believed in Jesus with all my heart and soul, and that he died for my sins. And I told him about my testimony, and I poured out my entire testimony and woven that with the gospel. And in the middle of this, I kid you not, we were in this restaurant, the lights went out. Not only did the lights go out in that restaurant, but the entire city, the lights went out completely. And of course, that was just my luck. I'm sharing the gospel and my testimony with this guy, and the lights go out. And you know, I think it's safe to say that anyone in that situation would probably be a little worried and see and maybe stop in their tracks. But I was on so much fire for God, and I just wanted to continue pouring out my love and my testimony and the gospel to this guy, and so I did. And then right when I finished, the lights went on, and I was like, this guy's definitely going to come to Christ. I just know it. And right when he did, he said, okay. And then he transitioned to something about Morgan Freeman. And I was like, okay. I was smiling, but in my mind, I'm like, oh my God. Well, I thought I just did it. Why did this guy not come to Christ? Like, I just did what I was told to do. But it turns out I was more disappointed in myself, because I was doing it out of my own strength in my mind, and I wasn't pouring out my heart for this guy. I was pouring it more out of my mind and doing it out of my own the wrong type of confidence and the wrong type of pride. And I just realized that the only way to combat that is to give up that pride, give up that false sense of confidence, and lay it on the altar and die to it, and eventually just become empty all my sins of pride and confidence and any other sin that I might have, just empty myself completely full of that, completely full, put it on the altar and have God take care of it, and just be empty. And the only thing that will be left when you do that is hope. That one little speck of hope, when you empty yourself out, that's all you need for God to show up and show off for the next part, which is when you completely empty yourself, when you all you have that is left is love. I mean, hope comes love, comes love, comes Christ's love, and that Christ will live in you. And I have a perfect example for that. So we were in the in a place called Trabzon, and this is right along the Black Sea. There was this one believer out of 60,000 students at this university. His name's Orchun. He's like 23 years old. Mechanical engineer guy, and he's one of the happiest guys you've ever seen. Every time I saw that guy, he was smiling from ear to ear. And just one day, he decided to say, he told all of us that he just wanted to be baptized and just not so much be on the fence anymore. He just wanted to proclaim his faith to the heavens and do it all, go all out and be baptized and declare it for once and for all. And so we took him to the Black Sea, and he got baptized there. And after he finished, he just started doing laps in the water, and just he was praising God, and it was a beautiful sight to see. And we were just singing worship songs in Turkish to this guy while that was happening. And out of nowhere, out of the corner of our eye, comes this Chinese student with a camera, and she was asking, "What are you guys doing?" And we just explained that we just baptized our friend in Jesus Christ, and he just gave his whole life to Jesus. And she was like, "Wow, okay, tell me more." So we told her everything, and then we prayed for her and worshiped God in Turkish to her, and she was like, "Wow." I can't even express how excited this girl was. She was like 4 foot tall. She was just like all out for God, and she had her little camera on. She was videoing the entire thing, and she said, "When I go back home, I'm going to show all my friends and family about how God changed me through you guys." And that's just amazing, because the Silk Road runs from Turkey to China, and God knows no borders, no political borders, no geography of mountainous terrain can ever can never stop the love of God. And I just thought that was so fascinating how we just baptized this guy in Turkey who is a believer of only of 60,000 students. And this Chinese student who came out of nowhere, she just came out of nowhere. I was like, okay. And she's like, I want to tell everyone about God if where I'm from. And I just thought that was completely fascinating. I guess you just have to be there to see it. It's just one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. And I just feel so blessed to see that. And I saw, like, the love of Christ is overflowing in our friend Orchun and this college Chinese student. And I just saw, like, God living and, like, he's just living in both of them. And I just, I think I'm going to hammer home the theme right here is I came to Turkey seeing what it truly means to live dead. And I have scripture to back it up, so I must be right somehow. So the first one is living dead in Christ, I think. It goes to Matthew 6, 25, and it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I think first you need to step out in faith, step out beyond any of the fears or worries or self-doubt that you may have. Just step out in faith and not worry about any judgment that may come from that. Just step out in faith, and God will do the rest. He will do the rest, I promise you. There's been multiple accounts that I've seen in Turkey and in my own life of that happening. And I know that living dead in Christ, we must die to our flesh and sinful behaviors. You know, that could be pride or confidence or lust or greed or any of that. The list goes on and on from how many sins there are out there. But as long as we do that daily, I know that it's inevitable that we will suffer. We will suffer through that. But through that suffering, we must cling to the promises of Romans 5, 3 through 5, which say, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I'm gonna highlight that four-letter L word one more time. It says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that's my third and final point. With, you know, we can have as much faith and as much hope as we want in this world, but without love, it's not going to be nearly as meaningful. And I know that 1 Corinthians 13 hits the nail right on the head here. Verses 4 through 7, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And the last part of 1 Corinthians 13, it's amazing how God works. Like, his scripture is just on fleek, as the kids say. I don't know, like, any other way to say it, but it says that, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And it's just amazing how God has shown me by stepping out in faith, and I sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness by suffering through my pride and false sense of confidence. I really gained that hope that I needed for Christ, no matter what hindrance or obstacle that I may be facing. I'm always going to have hope, no matter what. I kid you not. I can be like dropped off in the middle of nowhere. I could have the life of Job just smacked onto me right now, and all my family and friends and everything. I'll lose my money. I'll lose my family and friends, and I'd just be dropped off in the middle of, I don't know, like the Sahara Desert with no arms and legs, and I would still have hope in God. And through that hope, I know that his love above all else would come and just be poured into me. And I just know that would happen. And I just believe that to my core. And I just really want to, I know I may have gone over the 10-minute limit, but I just really want to highlight this. I know that, there's a saying that goes, I think, it takes a village to raise a child. And I'm going to try to do this without crying. I get my crying from my mom, so I'm going to try to keep the waterworks at bay here. I think the quote saying that it takes a village to raise a child, I think First Baptist Church of Lexington has been the village raising me over the past 5 or so years. And I whatever age I am, whether I'm like 16 or 17 coming here for the first time, 21 right now, or a 99-year-old grandpa, and you know, I'm always going to be a child of God, and I always, every time I come here, I feel like a child of God, and I always feel like the love and support that you guys have poured into me has been like priceless, really. It's been righteous, as the Bible would probably say. And I really just know that, you know, ever since I think next week will mark the 4th anniversary since I've been baptized in the Caribbean Sea by Ray. And I've seen God move in my life like I can't even explain it. I mean, I have a journal I think I've been keeping since maybe December of 2013, which was a couple months after I got baptized. And in that, I've seen there have been some very high highs and some very low lows, but everything has been worth it because God was right there with me. Through those very low lows, where I've hit rock bottom, I had nowhere else but to look up to God reaching down his arm to extend his arm down to me. And it's really up to me. He gives us free will. It's up to me whether I reach out or not for him to extend me out of there. And I think for the first time in my life, through this Live Dead internship, I've really seen, you know, I'm on that firm foundation. I'm on that foundation of the salt and light of the earth, and I don't plan on slipping anytime soon. And even if I do, I know he's going to be right there with me, pulling me out of the darkness into the light. And I feel so on fire for God that I'm not just going to say this and not do anything about it. By the grace of God, you know, I told you I had some really low lows. I had my first semester of college wasn't so good. Second week of school, my girlfriend actually broke up with me on FaceTime, so that was a real good start to college. And so that kind of led to eventually academic probation. I stopped going to class and almost got kicked out of school, I think almost 3 times, because my financial aid was almost stripped away from me because I didn't do well in school for the first semester. And it's amazing, God's grace has, you know, that's my own fault, because I wasn't listening to God in that. And he has been there with me every time. He showed me so much mercy and grace. And I tell you, I think it was like mid-March where I had a meltdown. I don't need to go into all that. But right after that meltdown, I had I was accepted into this Live Dead internship to Turkey. And then I had to get a quick job about it. And so I got this job on the weekends with a full academic course load of 17 credits. And I had to work on the weekends at this really sketchy hotel and as the concierge, the front desk guy, and to pay for my airfare to Turkey. And so I had to work like 10, 11, 12-hour shifts. I had to work 12 hours on Easter Sunday. So that was great. I hope God was watching that one. I just know like every hour was worth it because I got my airfare to go to Turkey. And before I even got that, I found out I was going to be a small group leader this academic year to help mentor and disciple other students in a Bible study in my college campus ministry called Chi Alpha, which stands for Christ Ambassadors. And I even got an email last week saying that they've seen me growing throughout my college career, and they want me to MC or host this thing called Thursday Night Worship, which stands for TNW, and or TNW, which stands for Thursday Night Worship. And that's where we have about 100 to 200 students every week, every Thursday, to gather. It's like a worship service and a sermon, and they want me to host it, me. And I just feel so blessed and honored, and I don't even plan on stopping there. I feel so convicted by the Holy Spirit to take advantage of my location in Washington, D.C., where I go to school. Our school is situated on Massachusetts Avenue, which is called Embassy Row, and there are 177 embassies in Washington, D.C. alone, and I feel so convicted to just have like a biweekly prayer ministry of some sorts, and so we can pray for the nations. And you know, prayer, I feel like I've taken for granted so much up to this point in my life, but I know that it can really change the world. Really, you know, you're speaking to God, and you know, God does his magic, and he, you know, it just does amazing things. Prayer is just something to never be taken for granted. I feel so convicted by the Holy Spirit to start my own biweekly prayer ministry up in D.C. And really take advantage of the embassies down there, and also finally start this YouTube channel that I've had this plan for 2 years, but I kept postponing it because God said, not ready, not ready, not ready. But now I feel convicted to start it and just spread the love of Jesus in creative ways. And I just I just thank you for all so much. You know, it started with like a dip in the Caribbean Sea by Ray, and it ended up here, and there's been some really high highs and some really low lows, but I know that through all of it, God's grace and mercy has been there with me. And through faith, hope, and love, I know that whether you know me or not, or whether I know you or not, I know that you have all somehow, some way poured your own faith, hope, and love into me. And I feel so eternally grateful. I feel so eternally grateful to be to be a member of First Baptist Church, and to really experience what God, faith, hope, and love really is. And I appreciate all of that. I appreciate the support financially from going to Belize and Mexico and Turkey. And I feel like a changed person. And, you know, I usually get really nervous up here, but I feel comfortable. I mean, I'm not wrapping U.S. presidents in order up here, but I still feel pretty comfortable up here. And I just thank you all for listening and just pouring out your love to me, and I plan on pouring out my love to others as well, as wherever I go. I think I might have went a little over the limit there, but I think Ray's going to get up here and do his job now. So I thank you for listening. Okay, I love you all. Thank you.
Let us join together in prayer. God, who is creator, redeemer, and spirit, we worship and adore you. We glorify your name in all the earth. We gather here in this place in your name. We gather to exalt and to praise you. We seek your presence, asking you to draw near so that we may feel your spirit moving within and among us, that we may know the plans you have for us, to follow in your path of love and of peace and of compassion, to be your hands and feet in this world, to be your body. We know this is not an easy task, being your body, following you into the places of the world and our communities and our lives where there is injustice and hatred and fear is uncomfortable. It's hard and it's risky. May we follow you there anyway, knowing that there is not a place we go that you are not with us. Even on the days when we cannot see you or feel you or hear you, you know us still and you love us still. Forgive us, O God, on the days when our discomfort and our fear makes us complacent and complicit. We give you thanks for the grace and love you give us both on the days when we worship and adore you and on the days where our fear or our hatred or our selfishness bullies us into silence. Shine through us so that all the earth may know your glory. And as we seek to be more like you, as we praise your name, we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The New Testament lesson is from Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I told Alec before the service that the scripture that Lori read just a few minutes ago from Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, is a scripture that applies to Alec, to all of our young people. On that day when you went under the waters of the Caribbean Sea in your baptism, God knew the plans that he had for you. And he knows the plans that he has for each one of us. There was a young lady, Brenda Jean Wasnick, who was in Kansas City. She was 22 years old. She had great plans for her life. But you know, we never know. We never know what God's plans are for us. Brenda Jean was going to be married in 6 months. She had a new job, had just started a new career. She had just finished college. Everything was going her way. And tragically, 22 years old, she was killed. Her family struggled for answers. They were looking, Alec, for that hope that you're talking about. And they found this verse, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It was this scripture that prompted her home church to commission the anthem that you are about to hear, If You Search With All of Your Heart.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you. So Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. Eugene Peterson translates this, to love God with all of your passion, with all of your prayer, and with all of your intelligence. Alec, you have given us a good example of what it means to take that passion, to take that love, and to take those prayers, and to take that intelligence, and to love God. And for all of our college students, on your quest for knowledge and truth, remember that this is something that you can use to love God. That God knows the plans He has for you. And today, we as a church add our blessing, our love, and we wish you God's protection and guidance on your journey. The hymn that we sing is number 401, We Praise You With Our Minds, O God.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how fitting our scripture is today that Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. We give these gifts unselfishly. Bless them, Lord, so that we may spread your word and share our love throughout our community and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
invite you to be seated for just a moment. We're so grateful for one of the great ministries of our church, our Young People Away committee and ministry. We have a number of people not only on that committee, but also for each one of our college students, and you see them listed in the bulletin, we have a prayer supporter. If you are a member of the Young People Away committee or a prayer supporter, would you just simply raise your hand? You see, there are a good number of our congregation involved in this wonderful ministry. And at this point, we want to recognize our college students, not only the ones who are here, but also all of those who are not able to be here today. I invite you to share with me in the litany that you find in the bulletin, and then Megan will share a prayer of blessing. We're standing here today where most of you were dedicated as babies, where you worshiped as children, where you were baptized into the family of Christ, and it is here that we celebrated your graduation. This is where you have been planted spiritually. Your church family wants you to know that you are always loved, and this church will always be your home. Your prayer supporters faithfully pray for you. Our Young People Away committee will keep in touch with you. Know that you are a child of God who dearly loves us all, and so go forth in peace to share God's love and to be bold in your faith to answer Christ's call.
Let us join together in a prayer of blessing. Oh God, we give you thanks for each of these young people, for their families and their friends and all who love and support and pray for them. Each of these students and each of us are your children. We are bonded together by your love, whether we are near or far from one another. Hold these students close. Envelop them in your love as they seek to know you better, as they seek to know themselves better, and as they continue to discover who they are and who they are becoming. On this morning, we are thankful for the hymn that reminds us that you want every part of who we are, that we can praise you with every part of who we are, with our minds, our bodies, and our hearts. We ask that you would bless each of these young people. Bless their minds, that they may always pursue knowledge. Knowledge in their fields of study, knowledge about you, knowledge about your world. May they think critically about their faith and how they will engage it. Bless their bodies, that they may be your presence in this world, that they may be your hands, working for good, seeking to do justice in a world where injustice is overwhelming, that they may be your feet, going into all places, walking alongside you, embodying your light and your love. Bless their hearts, that they may be filled with a deep and tender love for you, a love for others, and a love for themselves. May they value compassion and kindness. May they be abundant with grace and forgiveness. O God, from whom all blessings flow, bless their whole beings. Remind them that you see them. To you they are known. You see their minds and their bodies and their hearts. You see when they do good. You see when they make mistakes. You laugh with them in times of joy and weep with them in times of sorrow. And through every minute of it, you are there. Like a loving parent, a compassionate friend, and moving spirit, you are there. May each of these students feel your moving spirit in their lives. And may they feel deep within themselves a yearning and conviction to share your love with the world. And as they go out from this place that has nurtured them, a place many of them find their roots, may they also take the love and prayers of these people in this place, knowing that while we may be many in body, we are one in spirit. Amen.
I'm going to invite our college students, if they will, following the choral benediction. Do you mind standing up here at the front so everybody can come by and wish you well? Alec, thank you again for sharing with us, and I just want to say one thing. Beth, I'm glad you're okay. Yeah. It's a good thing we didn't know everything that was going on. But Alec, thank you so much, and we pray for you and all of our college students as you continue your commitment as you go back to school. Thank you again to our Young People Away Committee. Linda Belk is the chair of that committee. You do a wonderful job reaching out and touching base with our young people, and we thank you because we want you to know more than anything else. Number one, you're loved, we pray for you, and this is always your home. Let us pause before we go.